If you love football,
Borough provide the spark. It's now or never. Blast off! Blast off! Blast off!
It's winner takes all.
And you want all the latest news.
Player of the season. Best game of the season. It's the worst game of the season. The young player of the season.
Some interesting football chat.
How do you win more home matches? You play your home matches like you play away matches, because that's where we're successful.
With discussion about your favourite teams.
He played phenomenally well. I think he could be a key player next season. So had a great team spirit, though. It was a season of progress. Borough were unbeaten. It's a difficult one to say.
And a little quirkiness to boot.
Well, this is interesting. He's in the clouds. He's 6'6", 6'7".
Listen to Fly Me to the Moon with Rob Nichols and friends on Southside Broadcasting. What's the website, Rob?
Of course, the website, www.fmttm.com.
Listen to the Fly Me to the Moon podcast at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com.
Come on, Borough, and up the Borough!
Probably the most epic start to an FMTTM scenario that you could ever wish for. Yes, I know, and somewhere we'll get Tony Mowbray coming back again. He will return. He's very busy. He's got all sorts of things to do. He's a success as we actually go into issue 517's audio podcast companion to Fly Me to the Moon with, of course, Editor-in-Chief Rob Nichols. How are you, Rob?
I'm fine, thank you.
Excellent. And online, who do you think we can actually welcome back? Because he did such a fine job last time around, we thought rather like Andre BK or Bikey or whomever we're actually referring to. Who do you think that might well be?
I think it might be a newsreader.
Called Daniel Baker. Are you there, Daniel?
I am indeed, yes. Good afternoon.
There we are. You see, sorted through on that particular perspective. So, you were worried about the Sheffield Wednesday game, the Fantastic Friday, as Rob describes it in his editorial. Was it Fantastic Friday, Rob?
It was brilliant, wasn't it? It had a bit of everything. We had a big crowd, a great atmosphere. We're on TV, and we won 3-1 with an outstanding goal from Justin Hoyt to start it off.
As Lenny Lawrence was actually prone to say, as Chris Bartley actually alluded to, this could have been a big banana skin of a game. Apparently, Lenny liked his bananas. I wasn't aware of that myself. Maybe it's his potassium content. I knew Gordon Strachan liked his bananas, but that's another line entirely. Mm. But they did the business, so 3-1 from that perspective. And it has to be said, Daniel Baker was very happy-chappy sort of seminar sessions at the University of Lincoln on the Tuesday. I think it's fair to say that all was well with the world, and the run was continuing. Did you not, Mr. Baker?
I did indeed. No, I did feel it was a fantastic win. I mean, I watched the highlights in the Football League, so I managed to stay up late enough to watch that, actually. It was really good to watch. I mean, we just seemed to be playing with good confidence. Even when we conceded the equaliser, we didn't seem too fazed by it. We probably just kept going. And I think a 3-1 win really suggests that we can win games with comfort now. You know, we can win by more than one goal margin. And that really counts for us, because last season our goal difference was such a big problem. And even if we had made the playoffs, you know, we were about 11 goals off, you know, to being sixth place. So I think really the thing is we've got to win games, we've got to score goals. That's the key thing, right? Otherwise, we're not going to get anywhere. I'm sure it's obvious to say that, but you know what I mean. It's just that's just how it is. The teams around us have got better goal difference, particularly the top two at the moment. So we've got to make sure that we keep at it.
This is, of course, spoken by a gentleman who has seen a sharp upturn in results since he started covering Lincoln City Football Club. You know, they started winning games, and it's quite amazing. Obviously, they're in a completely different scenario. They're in the conference as opposed to Blue Square. I forget these sort of things, etc. But yes, it's all working through that. So who knows? So, Stuart Downing on the front cover of issue 517, of course. It's a double issue, in case you're wondering. We haven't forgotten Bristol City and Huddersfield, just in case exciting for that. So double the fun. Jonathan Woodgate obviously has returned. Is the suggestion, as Andrew Glover's alluding to in the text, that Downing will be on his way as well, as long as we can cover part of his wages? Do we need to have a whip round?
We do. Isn't he on about 80,000 a week? That's quite a lot of money. That would certainly blow a hole in everything that we've done to cut the wage bill down. It would certainly provide a lot of service to get the goals that Daniel was talking about. And actually, I think I'm right in saying we're only two goals short of the same of having scored the same amount of goals at home as we had in the whole of last season. So that's exactly what we needed to do from last season. Daniel was quite right. We weren't scoring enough goals, but it's an entertaining place to go and watch football, the Riverside, and that's and hopefully a lot of people are going to take up the offer of this double header where you get you buy one get one free for these two games.
Genius, exactly. Yeah. It's all sorting through on that perspective. And of course, £80,000 is the average to one of Daniel's entertainment budgets, I believe. Also, I've been a different line entirely. It's very, gone very quiet on that perspective, particular perspective, and why not indeed? Then, of course, Cardiff City. Now,
yes,
you know, again, getting the word on the street from our Cambridge man, whose father came from Middlesbrough and therefore inducted his child into Sporting Middlesbrough. Daniel said, could be a tough game, Cardiff City, and it kind of proved to be, but there's always a sense that actually they could have actually turned it around and won. Is that right?
Yeah. I'll start first. No, without a doubt, we've just been talking about scoring goals, and that was the thing that was glaringly missing from that game, because we were 1-0 down to a bad defensive mix-up, really. But then we had a lot of chances. We were certainly totally on top in the second half. And if we'd have taken one of those chances, and there was a hatful of them, then it would have been 1-0, which would have been a just result. And that's the reason why I don't think many of us who were present are too downhearted by that defeat. It was second versus third. It would have been nice to have beaten the third and put a bit of a gap there. But I think it's at the end of the season when you have to make sure that you win those games. And if we can keep up those sort of performances, surely we won't fire blanks again, especially if we've got Stuart Downing in at Christmas.
Daniel?
I'll forget about the Cardiff game, to be honest, because last season we went there and won 3-2, and around this time of year as well, so that was fantastic. But I mean, it's definitely a game we should have got something out of, really, based on the number of chances, but it's never based on chances, it's about goals. And in the end, you know, even though we could have got something out of that game, you know, there's no shame in losing to Cardiff. They've been one of the best teams in the Championship for a number of years. They've tried themselves for promotion year and a half every season, as long as I can remember, and really, we shouldn't be too downhearted. But I think the important thing is we pick ourselves up, duck ourselves down, and just carry on as we have been, really, because, you know, we are, in reality, one defeat in, you know, whatever many games is not, doesn't suggest that we're out of form at all. You know, we've on a good run, we've picked up great results, we're scoring more than one goal in games, and
possibly in the semi-finals of the Capital One Cup as well, in the very near future.
Back to South Wales again.
Exactly, yes. We will talk about that and more. Plus, find out exactly what Tony Mowbray was actually doing in a wheelchair, in a power chair, effectively, taking part in the National Power Chair League. Plus, poetry, but not by Kadeem Hussein. Extraordinary from that point of view. And also find out, from a point of view of radio, why is it that Rob's started getting very photographically creative on his away trips?
Parkville is a purpose-built residential care centre situated at the heart of Middlesbrough and providing personalised care in a modern and homely environment. Parkville aims to help older people to continue to live independent and active lives within the wider community whilst benefiting from the care and support of an experienced and dedicated team of nursing and care staff. At Parkville, we provide facilities to accommodate residential elderly and residential EMI service users. To find out more, please telephone 01642 223334. That's 01642 223334. Parkville Care Centre. Care to call us home.
Strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium, 225 grams of magnesium.
Hang on. I've got a pen, yeah. There's a pen here somewhere. Hang on, slow down.
Hang on.
One pen.
And one tablespoon. Remember, any more than one tablespoon could kill you. Any less than one tablespoon could kill you.
Right, what was
the recipe? And that's the recipe.
Oh,
if
damn.
You would like a more simple solution, you can always call Farmer Nord on 01670 519989.
All right.
Or visit the website farmernord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989. Or visit the website farmernord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Farmer Nord, I wonder?
PHARMANORD.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Farmer Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondents from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
Yes, indeed. That's exactly so. Southside Broadcasting. It is the Fly Me to the Moon podcast, issue 517, the companion and a double-headed companion to both Bristol City and Huddersfield Town. In the studio, of course, as ever, editor-in-chief of Fly Me to the Moon. That'll be Rob Nichols and Daniel Baker online as well. I keep saying, Rob, you got adding an S to you. Sorry, Rob. There is an S. I'm sorry.
There is, yes.
How many years have we been working together?
Hundreds.
Yeah. Well, is it BK? Is it BiK? Is it whomever? I mean, I noticed that Esteban has been writing on it. It all depends on how you choose to pronounce his name. Page, technically, of course, me, Mark Page.
Of course, yes.
Through, yeah, local yes. Presenter and broadcaster for BFBO, I think, Army, Catterick and such like.
I think so.
He pronounces it BK. Bikey presumably is not an opportunity, but I thought bikey as in rhymes with pikey, but maybe not.
He might not be too impressed by that.
There was nothing unpleasant about that. It's just a different line for that.
Yes.
How would you say, Daniel, what would your line be on that, the pronunciation of Andre BK?
I'd go BK as well, actually.
BK.
We do know him as a Mugu, because I think there was a rumour he took his dad's name or his middle name and happened to be a Mugu, so he became Andre a Mugu.
He did?
I think Valentine probably thought it was too much of a mouthful, so I thought he's taken his name back, presumably, for, I don't know why, but he's still Andre BK for me.
Of course, Ugo Ehiog.
Yes.
There was a sort of debate in itself, really.
It wasn't
in
sorts there,
of
yeah.
ways, really. So, what's Tony Mowbray been doing? Visiting a Teesside sports club for wheelchair footballers, Rob.
It was. It's all to do with the Teesside Philanthropic charity, which is a charity that supports good causes in the Teesside area, particularly things that where they've got a shortfall of cash at the moment, the community issues, really, people that things that sort of empower parts of the community, and the Power Chair Football Club desperately needed some money for their power chairs, and Tony Mowbray went down there to sort of showcase that a £4,000 cheque had been handed across, and to have a go on the chairs and see how difficult it was, and I think he said it was pretty hard.
I think one of the interesting quotes that was made from the article, I think, comes from coach and club secretary Kath McNichol. There's no other sport for people with severe physical disabilities that is fast-paced like this. And it's nice to see that, I hate the term legacy from that point of view, but the legacy of the Paralympics is obviously still echoing and coming through on that basis. If it's anything like wheelchair basketball, it is quite ruthless.
Yeah. And one of the lads that photographed on there, little Owen, we should say something for him, because he's a fantastic Borough fan. He goes to all the home matches, and I've seen him at away matches as well. And he's a big supporter. And Middlesbrough footballers have done a lot of things when he's been involved at the hospice, at Butterwick Hospice, where he goes for respite care, and he plays on all the machines and things that they have that have been fundraised for. So he's a great lad.
Excellent. Interesting to see that there is also a photograph in the fanzine, particularly page 7, of a certain chap who has left LA Galaxy. He's looking for another challenge. My response is, don't worry about Australia. Why not go to Lincoln City or possibly the Riverside?
Yeah.
It's an interesting line. You know, I think if you're looking for challenges, etc., it's way forward. But
Cecil Bank, is that right, Lincoln?
Sinselbank, that's right, home of the Imps.
I've never been.
Have you never?
No, never been to it.
Obviously, looking for a cup draw, presumably, in the near future.
Well, yeah.
Speaking of which, do you think Swansea City is going to be an interesting turnaround? I mean, it could lead to exciting times. You could get up. You could go up against Rafa Benitez's latest team.
We could actually get a home game. If we win that, we get in the semi final, which, as you know, is home and away. So we'd actually have their first home tie. And was it
in 2 or 3 years? Splendid stuff on that basis. I've got to ask Daniel your views on the situation with respect to Rafa Benitez taking over at Chelsea. Do you think, yes, absolutely, it's the only way forward because that's the way to success, as Chelsea have demonstrated time and time again by the number of trophies they've won after they've sacked their managers?
Well, they have a bit of a habit of appointing interim managers when they win things. I suppose the fear, isn't it? Because there's a thing in football where if you appoint a caretaker manager, they do really, really well. And then when you give them the job on a full-time base, they just don't cut it. It happened with Gutierrez a lot at Chelsea. When they had him, he was only in charge at the end of the season. But I think he got him a place higher in the league than Scolari did, and then he won the FA Cup. And then Di Matteo, while in temporary charge, won 2 trophies. And now, when he gets the job for real, he's out of the job within 8 months. It just is, I don't know what Benitez is going to be like, but I've held the view that he'll get the best out of Torres. So that's perhaps why he's there, but we'll have to see what the results are. I don't think they're going to save him, really, if he's going to last any longer at Stamford Bridge.
And that's all we want to talk about, because this is not a thing to do with respect to Chelsea. It's not the football club we're focusing on, and quite rightly so as well. A very interesting column was put together, as ever, entitled On a Wing and a Player. We talked about the Stuart Downing rumour at the start of the whole thing, but the ending quote of this, coming from the man who is actually responsible for putting this show together in the first place, really, and is now a contributor, in fact, one of the top BBC reporters within the North East for BBC Online.
Yes.
Mr. Andrew Glover, who actually writes, Matthew Bates will be feeling strange this afternoon. He courageously battled his way back from multiple potentially career-ending injuries to become club captain. Bates was again allowed to use the club's facilities after his most recent injury, but couldn't agree terms on a short-term deal when he approached fitness. Reading between the lines, it seemed obvious we offered him a contract. What a shame he couldn't agree to show us some loyalty. Or maybe he just didn't want to sit on the bench.
Yes.
Andrew striking with the pen there, being mightier than the sword, I felt.
Yes, absolutely. I think it's fair enough that we used we offered him the facilities because he was still under contract when he was injured. Oh. So therefore, it's only the decent thing to do. But it's incredible for somebody to have actually battled back 5 times from as Andrew says, an injury that's finished many a career in the past. And now he's got a chance to he's got a chance to play against us, first of all, and he's got a couple of months at Bristol City to prove that he can do it week in, week out. And I think he was going to be sitting on the bench for Middlesbrough, there's no doubt about it, because we'd started it fresh in the summer. We'd brought in Woodgate, and obviously Woodgate was going to be Woodgate and Reece Williams, but then Williams got injured, and Beakey, whatever we decided, I don't know what it was 5 minutes ago, he's really seized that opportunity and made that position his own. And Reece Williams will be back in about 3 weeks' time, so for Matthew Bates, it would have been having been out all that time to actually be sitting on the bench. It's almost like he's got to make up for lost time, hasn't he?
And Woodgate proving to be a reasonable signing. Scored first goal, of course.
Unfortunately, I think they had a scan on his leg last night, and he's out for for 2 weeks, which means he'll miss 3 games in that time, won't he? But he has been a bit in and out with fitness, but when he's been fit, he's made a big difference to the defence. It could be that when he comes back that Reece Williams will be also vying for a position, so it'll be interesting to see what Tony Mowbray decides to do there with his two centre-halves, whether he plays Reece Williams in midfield. But I can't see him dropping Bikey out either. Oh. So Woodgate has been good. Unfortunately, I should say George Friend also, he had a scan last night. He's out for 2 weeks with a hamstring injury, so he'll be missed.
I'm unsure in terms of the relationship between Chris Bartley and Master Thomas Bartley. I'm thinking father-son.
You're right.
Just as well, sort of point of view, because I didn't think we were into some kind of domination sequence here, but it's fair enough, you know, because who knows what could be happening for the more adult readers of FMGTM. It's an interesting... Is it poetry, I asked myself when I was looking through this? Is it poetry, or is it more kind of attempt at a sonnet, you know?
I mean, he told me it was an advert, and he's right, I've seen it. Has it seen it? A Kevin Bacon advert that's on TV, where he goes from one thing to another, sort of surreal sort of links.
Right, so really we should actually take one line each, then. in the
I see what you're saying.
You see what we mean there? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
This is, you know, and obviously, you know, Daniel hasn't got a copy of this. We can't really sort of immediately get him down, so he's going to have to just see how successful this actually is. And the other question is, do we include the words prediction? And I know that I said to Ben that I would mention him, so here.
I think you've done it.
Yeah, fair enough. So, would you like to go first?
Goal was a successful movie series.
Which cameoed Mike Ashley?
Newcastle.
Anton Deck?
I'm a Celebrity.
Scared Helen of Corrie?
Corrie is in Manchester.
Which is often classified in the north?
North.
Which is where we live?
Specifically Middlesbrough.
The club which play at the Riverside?
Play.
That's what we're doing today, play.
Bristol City.
And there we go. I think that was okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. Daniel, did it work for you down there in Lincoln?
It did. It was very good, actually. I love how you put the pop culture reference to I'm a Celebrity, get me out of here.
We're
on the ball here.
Finger on the pulse. Other fanzines might have glossier paper, but when it comes down to it, the podcast companion, so Fly Me to the Moon, and the content itself is there. It's there for all to actually see. You know, quite rightly so. That's why you should actually purchase one and go and get one now. How can people actually get that Christmas special feeling by actually subscribing to FMTTM for Christmas?
Yes, why not, eh?
Yes.
Well, you could go on the website, www.fmttm.com, and there's a subscription button there to press, or you can email me. Well, I've put a different email to usual here, so
yes.
My other one's getting too full, actually.
Well, there we are.
It's full of photos from Tracy Hyman and stuff like that.
I haven't forgotten that. Yeah. You know, that will be talked about.
If you email fmttmadmin@gmail.com, and I will give you some details. But basically, it cost about £20 from Boxing
Day. Let's say £20, shall we? Not about.
Yeah,
let's you know.
Okay.
Are you doing $19.99? Just a thought.
Yeah.
It's just... let's say £20. The price of 1.5 CDs or a Blu-ray DVD.
Put it like that.
Exactly, yeah. For your sheer borough magic, basically.
Far more entertainment here, then, isn't there?
Precisely.
Yes.
Exactly. We can only give you a smidgen of that on the Fly Me to the Moon podcast. A little taster.
Yes.
You have the opportunity to get it. You know, there we are. There it is in Google. You can read through that. And it's used at least 2 hours worth of
material. At least.
The photographs. Rob, it has been commented on your Facebook updates and such like that you've been taking lots of photographs and various other things. Is this a new artistic side to you, adding to your musical skills and talent, as well as the editorship of Fly Me to the Moon and Borough Fanzines?
No, I think I discovered that if I just took them on my phone, I can click them onto my Facebook really easily. So I've often taken photographs at the match when I go to the match, but sometimes I just stick them in the fanzine. But yeah, sometimes going to away trips, there's a little bit more involved with just going to the match.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah. And the shots of stadia after they've entered, emptied and cleared, very good, very profound, really. I found saying something quite profound and poignant about the human condition in the early 21st century.
I think so. I hope so. That's what I was trying to get across.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So let's get down to those last two scenarios, of course, the games against Bristol City and Huddersfield. We'll take the Robins first from that point of view. 6 points would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yes, obviously Bristol City really, really struggling at the moment. They've got Matthew Bates, I think that's what we were talking about. Matthew Bates playing as centre-back. But, yeah, it would be good to... That's the great thing about having the back-to-back home games, that you can think about possibly getting 6 points, which is what we did last time, which took us to the top of the league. Mm-hmm. And it'll be nice to go there again. And winning at home against Bristol City sets us up nicely for Huddersfield, and let's hope we've got a good backing in both those games.
December's looking very busy, I must say.
I know.
Very, very busy in all sorts of ways.
Don't mention December.
just extraordinary. Daniel, your thoughts, Bristol City and Huddersfield?
Bristol City haven't won since September, so in theory it's sort of a home banker, really. But then again, there isn't a better time for them to win. If it could beat a team in the top three, then I'm sure they'd take that. But they just haven't had the results. I mean, they haven't been hammered particularly in any sort of games, but... then again, you know, they haven't, not winning since September is a worrying sign, and being second bottom is not a good place to be right now. But saying that, say we're making it out of the bottom three, and if we win, we can go second. So that's quite a good scenario. But I can definitely see Middlesbrough winning that game. I think they've got the strength to do it. They've got the players to do it. And even with the injuries, you know, we should have enough to get past Bristol City, I think, and prove that Cardiff game was just a slight blip there along the way. And that's the Huddersfield, though, again, you know, they've really performed elegantly since they've come up from League One. I mean, many people expected them to struggle, but they've got Jermaine Beckford leading the line, and you know they're getting goals. They sold Jordan Rose, but it hasn't made any bad impact on them whatsoever. They're getting goals. They've sort of, you know, been in the top 10, I guess, most of the season, and and that sort of thing, got some good results. They obviously beat Birmingham, for example. So we've got to respect our opposition, definitely going into the game. But I think 6 points is achievable from both of them.
Standing Rob, you know, he actually sounds as though he knows what he's talking about. Of course he does, but we've had so many co-presenters in the past where they quite clearly, by their own admission, have not had any interest in football whatsoever.
It's quite almost
refreshing, really, to actually find that routine, particularly as, obviously, Jordan Rhodes, as you mentioned, moved on, and they still seem to have actually coped very well. Harold Wilson, I think, was a fond follower of Huddersfield, if memory serves.
I think you're right.
Throw that in there.
Yeah,
white heat of technology in Huddersfield Town. It's an extraordinary scenario. That was the 1960s, I don't know, it's almost like the origins of modern Britain. But I won't go there, because it's a different line entirely. Do you think Dave's done okay? I mean, Dave?
Daniel.
Dave Baker, Daniel Baker. It's very confusing. do you think he's done okay?
He's done very well indeed, yeah. He's very well researched.
It is. Do you think we should invite him back on again?
I think so.
Because, of course, the next one...
He was a bit unlucky, maybe, with the Cardiff, but obviously he did predict the Sheffield Wednesday win, so I think so.
So it's looking good from that point of view. Daniel, have you enjoyed your time on the show?
I think it's been a pleasure as always. Luck to talk to you guys and again share my views on Middlesbrough Football Club, and it's been great fun.
Well, there we are. You can listen to it all again via the magic of podcasting, because that's what it's all about. Right? It's just sheer genius from that point of view. It'll be those Wolves people, I presume, up next as far as the home team is concerned.
Yeah.
So that's going to be fun from that point of view. Do you think he'll remember those last seven words, of course, Rob?
I think I will.
Yeah, I think you will, yes. Mm. Do you think Daniel will?
I think there's every chance.
Borough the up and borough on come.
Ooh,
in reverse
tricky.
Order. Did you see what I did there?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, but
it was kind of like it was almost like a Niskin's Cruyff-like turn. You know, that sort of, you know, borough the up and borough on come. Now, come on, borough, and up the borough. Seven words we actually finish off the show with. So, Daniel and Rob, in your own time. Well, let's say after three. One, two, three.
Come on, borough, up the borough.